the subject that Father has indicated that tonight we need to share together is the subject of the ways of God. Do you know the ways of God? People know what God said, they know what God did, but do you know the ways of God? Because the God that we worship today is not up in the sky. The God that we worship is within us. And if that God is within us, then we are walking a path. But are we walking the pathway that He walked? Or in other words, are we walking where Christ is walking today? Because the ways of God are very important for us. What do the ways of God indicate for us? Have you ever had a look at a rose tree? And you look at that rose tree and you see suddenly some buds begin to form on that tree. And then as you watch it, you notice that the buds begin to grow, and then they split open, and a beautiful flower comes out. Can you explain that to me? Can you tell me how that happens? That's God. That's God. Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to look at the lilies to see how they grow. Not to see how beautiful they are, not to see what colors they are, but to see what is it that makes them grow. And what do you discover when you look at the lily? You discover that it's not the lily that's doing the job. I mean, because I've looked at the lily after I planted the little bulb, and I notice a little green shoot comes out of the ground, and I say to the lily, how did you do that? How did you do that? I mean, you're not smart, you're not clever, you've never even been to school. Now, I've been to school, and I can't do that, but you, how did you do that? Oh, I said, no problem, God is in me. So you see, there's an answer to these things. This is the mystery of life. The mystery of life. When a man and a woman come together in marriage and then they decide that they would like to have a child, and then something begins in that mother. Something begins to grow. Can you tell me how that all happens? What is it that makes this happen? That's God. That's God. Now we have to understand the ways of God because we are to live out of God. We are to live and walk in the ways of God on this earth. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And he says here in verse 4, they shall build the old waste places, and they'll raise up the former desolations, and they'll repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Who's this? This is the people of God. Do you understand how to do that? Do you understand how to build the old waste places? Are you doing that in your life? Are you building that which has been fought, that which has fallen down, that God has established in the earth, but then the next time you look, it's gone. What's happened? I don't know. It's just disappeared. Somebody changed their mind. It says, and strangers shall stand and feed your flock, and the son of the alien shall be your plowman. But you will be named the priests of the Lord. You'll be named the priests of the Lord. What a title to be given. The priests of the Lord. Not the priests of some denominational system. Not the priests of some religious system. But the priests of the Lord. You see, that's a different priesthood. As a matter of fact, I believe today that God is bringing into this world a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. It's a new order. 12 months ago, I was invited to Africa for the first time. And they sent me a copy of their vision. This is a group in Rwanda. Their vision was to heal a nation. This is a nation that 10 years ago was torn apart by genocide. I mean, 1 million people died in that place. It was the craziest thing. I went through the museum there, and the leader, the guide that I had, said to me, "Mr. Walter, what do you think about this?" I said, "I could not believe that there's such insanity on the earth." But you see, they killed each other. I mean, people living side by side. Their children have grown up, gone to the same school together. They had played together. The people had fellowship together. But on a certain day, they rose up, and this family wiped out that family. Absolute insanity. But you will be the priests of the Lord. And he says here, "Men shall call you the ministers of God, and you will eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall boast themselves." And in verse 9, he said, "And your seed will be known among the Gentiles, and your offspring among all the people. And all that see you will acknowledge you that they are the seed of the Lord." You see, you can't produce this. You can't do this. But we've tried very hard, haven't we? We've tried very, very hard. Nobody tried harder than I did. For the first 40 years of my life, as an evangelist, as a missionary with my wife, as a pastor over a number of years, but I'd never become the minister of the Lord. I'd never become a priest of the Lord. I had become a preacher of a religious system that I had been taught. And that's what I shared with the people. But see, that doesn't make you anything as far as the world is concerned. I was in a vehicle in Rwanda just recently. We'd just been out to the safari park. Because my friend, another pastor that was with us, had never seen a live elephant outside the zoo. And so she wanted to see some animals, so we went out there. But there was an argument in this four-wheel drive between two of the pastors that came with us. These two pastors were arguing with the driver of the vehicle. And I ended up by saying, "If this man, this driver of the vehicle, who didn't make any profession of faith, he's just doing a job, that's all." I said, "If this man had the choice of taking two pastors out to the safari park again, I think he'd say, 'No, thank you, I'll stay home.'" I mean, these are pastors. And when we got back that day, I invited them to come and this man to come and have lunch with us, this driver. And I said to him, "I want to apologize." I said, "I've never been more embarrassed in my life." But I said, "How those pastors carried on, that was not God. I want you to know that." But you see, when I was 40 years of age, I resigned from the ministry. I said, "I've had enough of this. That's the professional ministry." Well, I knew there was something else, but I didn't know how you could get it or how you could enter into it. But God opened a way. "So their seed will be known among the Gentiles, your offspring among the people, and you will be known as the seed that the Lord has blessed." That's what we need. That's the testimony for the world today. That's the testimony. "And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, for my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he's clothed me with the garments of salvation," the garments of salvation, "and covered me with the robe of righteousness, just like a bridegroom is decked with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For the earth bringeth forth her bud, And as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Beloved, I happen to believe that the day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I happen to believe that. I told the people in Africa just a few weeks ago. I said, you know, this word of the Lord is going to go across this country like a bushfire. And I said, if you will carry this message, God will transform your life. If you will walk in this message, if you will know and experience and live the ways of the Lord, I said, you will see your nation changed. Of course, in their little debate that they sent me, or their vision, they said, we want to heal the nation. I said, Lord, how in the world do you heal a nation? If you want to send me there, you're going to have to teach me how to heal a nation. And so he tried to teach me how to heal a nation. These are the ways of God that we need to learn. But you see, I'm not talking about some professional ministry. I'm just Des Wallace. That's all I am. I don't ever want to be anything different. Because if God can't use Des Walter, all the degrees in the world, all the titles or whatever, are not going to make any difference to the message. Ministry is not what you do. It's what you are. And that's the difference. So Jesus said, we'll turn to John chapter 14, this is what Jesus said. He said in verse 6, he said to the disciples, to the people around him, I am the way. What in the world was he saying? You see, too often we are reading the Bible just as the ink on the paper. That's what we're reading. But we never hear the voice of God. And you will not know the ways of God by just reading the book. You'll know the ways of God by the voice that you hear within you. So he said, I am the way. What was he talking about? Well, you say he was just simply saying Jesus is the way to heaven. I don't think so. As a matter of fact, you can't go to heaven. That's a stupid statement. You can't go to heaven because heaven is not a geographic location. And if you really want to know the truth, heaven's in here anyway. Heaven's within you. It's not up in the sky. When the Russians put their Sputnik up there, you know, years ago, and they went around in space, they came back and said, you Christians are all crazy. There's no heaven up there. But then they didn't bump into God either. So you see, it's all just a lot of nonsense. Well, that's what they thought. Little did they know, heaven's in here. That was only what the religious world told them. So Jesus said, I am the way. What did he really mean? Well, first of all, he was not saying anything about Jesus, the man. Because Jesus was a man. He was flesh and blood, just like you and I. As a matter of fact, if you really want to know the truth, you can look at Jesus Christ and say, that's who I am. That's who I am. There is no difference between you here tonight and Jesus Christ that lived on this earth 2,000 years ago. There's no difference. We tried to make him different. Why? Because the religious world didn't know what to do with him. I mean, he could heal the sick. He could walk in the water. He could raise the dead. He could feed 5,000 people with nothing in the wilderness. They didn't know what to do with him. So what did they do? They made him God. And that was nonsense. Not once in the book did he ever say he was God, nor did anybody else. What he said was, I'm the Son of God. Not God. I'm the Son of God. But he also said, and here's the mystery, I and my Father are one. So you see, he understood who he was. Do you understand who you are today? You see, you have an outer man, the Apostle Paul said. You've got an outer man. It's perishing every day. I said, tell me about it, Paul. There are cells in your body that are dying every day. But he said, you also have an inner man. And that inner man is being renewed every day. You want to know the ways of God? You have to understand this. Because too many people today are trying to live the ways of God out of the outer man. And the outer man doesn't have the capacity to live that life. You cannot live the true Christian life, that is the life of Christ, through the outer man. It doesn't work. But there's an inner man. And that inner man is Christ. And that's your true identity. That's who you are. And if you want to live and experience and express the life of Christ, you must live out of that inner man. So too many Christians today have ignored the inner man and said, well, I'm saved. What do you mean? Well, I give my heart to Jesus. I believe that he died for me on the cross. I asked him to come into my heart. Now I'm born again, I'm a child of God, going to heaven when I die. I don't think so. Because he didn't get that from the book either. And here's why we have a problem living the life that we want to live. I guarantee you, most of you people here tonight would say to me, I want with all of my heart to be able to live and express the Christ that's in me. You do, don't you? You've cried over it at times. You've prayed. You've asked God. You have done everything you know to do. How, Lord, can I possibly live that life that will become an expression of the Christ of God on the earth today? That's what the world's waiting to see. They're not waiting to see religious people. They're not waiting to see you in some meeting with your hands raised and you're going to try and worship God. That's not going to change the world. The world's going to change when you live in your house, in your town, in your city, wherever you live, doing what you're supposed to be doing, and it becomes an expression of the Christ. That's what's going to impress the world. That's when people are going to say, hey, what have you got? Because I want some of it. I want what you've got. So Jesus said, I am the way. That was, I am the expression of what a man was intended to be when God created him in the beginning. That's what I am. If you want to know what God intended when he said, let us make man, have a look at me because I'm the expression of that. And that's what he did. That's what he did. So when he was 12 years of age, his mum and dad got a little upset with him, you know. Well, he wasn't really his mum and dad, but you know what I mean. Joseph and Mary there, they got a little upset because they lost him. And they had to go back to the temple. I mean, you know, fuel the cost of this now. You run your car backwards and forwards like that. But anyway, he goes back there. They go back and find him in the temple. And he's teaching the doctors. He's teaching the philosophers, he's teaching the priests, he's teaching the religious people of his day. And they say, don't you realize you've caused us a headache? He said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? What's my Father's business? My Father's business is to show the world how to live. My Father's business is to show people how you can live in this world, a life that was given to you in creation. Because you're not living out of that life, you're living out of your mortal life. And mortal life is not the life of God. You see, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says there that the Lord God formed the man. He gave man a form. This is not creation. This is the word yetzar, which means to mold like a potter would mold the clay. And so he made this body. And this body is lying down there. It's complete. Head, body, torso, legs and arms, the whole thing. Fingers, fingernails, the whole thing. It's all finished. And if that man stood up, I mean, if the Lord God had said to him, okay, on your feet now, let's see you stand up. He didn't move. He couldn't move. Why? Because that body had no life in it. Your body has no life in it. Your body has no more life than a brick. The life that keeps your body operating is Christ dwelling in you. It's God in you. That is your life. The expression of that life is what we have to get. This is what we have to come to understand. How can we express this life of this inner man of the Christ within me? That's what we want to know. So, that man couldn't move until the Lord God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now listen, I want to just share some things here. I don't know where we're going with this tonight. But this is what the Lord said we were to share. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas, one of the disciples, betrayed him and kissed him there with a crowd of soldiers behind him. He wouldn't have done it otherwise. Anyway, he kissed him. And the soldiers arrested Jesus. And they paraded him, took him down the street like a common criminal. This is the Christ of God. They could have called down 12 legions of angels and wiped out the whole Roman Empire if he wanted to. Why didn't he do it? He couldn't. He couldn't do it. Because at that point, he had become what you and I are. He became exactly what you and I are. That was in the cup that the Father said, I want you to drink. I want you to become what humanity has become. Dead in trespasses and in sin. Life and death in God do not mean what life and death do to us in the English world. There is no death in God. There is not one thing that God created that's going to die. Hearing this? There is not one thing that God created that can be destroyed or messed up. No one thing. Listen, where you sit in your seat right now, you are as perfect in the sight of God as you were when you came from the hand of the Creator. Do you understand this? You say, how could that be? What is your true identity? I'm not talking about what is your street address down here. I'm not talking about, you know, what name did your parents give to that little one that was born so many years ago. Who is your true identity? You came out of Christ. And that Christ came out of God. You're all the children of God. And therefore your identity is Christ, for he's the one that you came out of. That is who you are, but that Christ lives in a body. Amen. Has the Christ ever sinned? Neither have you. Neither have you. Because that's your true identity. You have never sinned in the sight of God. God does not hold one thing against you tonight. Not one thing. What? Because he doesn't see the person you think you are. That has no reality. It has no reality. So when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross as you and as I. Right. So how could he go to the cross and willingly lay down his life? Because that's what he did. It was no problem. Why not? Because you have to understand. You see, there are two lives that you can live. And when that man was given form in Genesis 2:7, it's in the plural. He breathed into his nostril the breath of lives. Why? Well, there's at least two lives. Or two kinds of life, if you like. One is mortal life. God never created a mortal man. You hear this? God never created a mortal human being. What did God create? Created spirit. He created Christ. And every other person in humanity, of humanity, came out of that Christ. So, that means that the person you think you are, which is a mortal human being, has no reality as far as God is concerned. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that your true identity has never sinned. But then you say, but the Apostle Paul said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, but that was the other guy. You understand? That's not your true identity. That's the other man that you thought you were. That's the mortal human being. Okay, so Jesus Christ goes to the cross. And he lays down his life. What life? This mortal life. This life that has no true reality. Remember, he'd become what you and I are. That's why in the Garden of Eden, you remember, Eve went out and took the fruit of the tree. Paul said it wasn't Adam that sinned, it was Eve. She took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then she came in and gave it to Adam. And remember, Adam, he had a choice. He could have said, Eve, you've been a wonderful wife to me, and you know, I hate to lose you, but I'm not going to help you because you know what God said. I'm not going to touch that fruit. But if he had said that, there would not have been a meeting here tonight. See? So what did he do? He took that fruit. But I want you to know, Adam never talked to the snake. Adam never talked to the snake. Adam never was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He's Christ. Adam is Christ. And he took that fruit. And with his eyes wide open, he ate it. What? To become one with you and I. Because he knew the problems that we would face in life. He knew the problems that we would have to know the ways of God and to live in them. He knew all of that. So he ate that fruit to become one with you and I. And that's why he had to go to the cross. He took with him that life of our mortality. And the crucifixion, death by crucifixion, is a very, very slow death. So at the end of the day, what did he do? He said, it is finished. And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And what happened when he did that? He's dead. His body is dead. Why? Because the spirit has left the body, and the body is dead. The body can die because God didn't create that. He formed it in your mother's womb. But that was for himself. Because God needed a dwelling place. Man is the dwelling place of God. This is where God lives. This is heaven. Okay. So he laid down his life. When the soldiers came, they saw the two thieves and they're still kicking and screaming on the cross. And they said, yeah, that's right. It wouldn't die in 6 hours, not in crucifixion. But when they looked at Jesus, he's dead. They said, this is strange. How come he's dead? Oh, he said, I got power to lay down my life. So have you. Because the life that you are, that you're asked to lay down has no true reality. Ah, but you don't know that, do you? You don't know that. 10 years ago, I went to the doctor. This is the only way I can help you to understand this. And he sat across there, the specialist, and said, Mr. Walter, you need open heart surgery. You need to have a bypass operation. And he said, if you don't have this operation, you will die. And I said, well, excuse me, sir, but I'm going to the United States next week for ministry. And he looked at me for a minute, and then he said, you're not listening to me. He said, if you don't have this operation, you will die. I said, thank you very much, doctor. Appreciate it very much. Of course, I went home, and you know what I did, don't you? I said, Father, do I have a problem with my heart? He said, I never mentioned anything about a problem with your heart. I told you to go to America. I said, thank you very much. And I went to America. I rang the hospital because the doctor had already booked me in at the chest hospital in Brisbane. I rang them up and said, I want to cancel the appointment. I'll ring you. Don't you ring me. If I need you. I was back there just a few months ago to the same specialist. Because my doctor, we don't have to pay for the doctor over in Australia, fortunately. So he just checks my blood pressure and has a look at me and says, are you looking okay? And I say, Doc, how are you doing today? And he laughs at that, of course. Not many patients ask him how he's doing. Anyway. So he looked at this little problem, irregular pulse beat. That's what the doctor said. So he did an ECG and he said, I don't think there's nothing wrong with you. He said, that's okay, don't worry about that. And then he started to flip back through the records and he said, you were here 10 years ago. I said, yeah. He said, you were supposed to have open heart surgery, but you never had it. I said, no. He said, why not? I said, Doc, did I really need it? I'm here, am I? You told me I'd be dead if I didn't have the operation. That was a challenge. I'm not just making fun of this. That was a challenge to me. You don't know what I went through. I had to have a face-to-face confrontation with death. Because I knew the doctor knew what he was talking about. I mean, he's a medical doctor. He knows what he's talking about. So this was a confrontation with death. And I said, Death, I dare you. You do what you want. You do what you can do. But I tell you, I'm going to America. And that's what I did. I never had the operation. And I was back there just recently, as I say. And he'd already done an ECG, and he said to me, would you mind if I did some more tests? Because he wanted to find something wrong, you know. He was on the spot, so I said, okay. I asked the Lord first, and he said, yep, I want you to go ahead with this. So I did what they call a nuclear stress test. Oh, my. Well, anyway, I went through this whole thing, and the report came back. And I sat down with this specialist, and he went through it all. He said, you're not in bad shape. I said, thank you, doctor. That's a better prognosis than you gave me last time. So what am I trying to tell you? Why could Jesus so easily lay down his life? He didn't kick, he didn't fight, he didn't fuss with the people, he didn't condemn those that hurt him, that nailed him to the cross. No, why not? Because he could lay down that life knowing there was another life within him. And that's what I discovered that day. I discovered there was another life in here, which is not my mortal life. It's got nothing to do with my breathing, with my nostrils. It's a life of the Spirit of God. This is God dwelling in me. This is Emmanuel, God with us. I discovered something that day. And this is what I want to share with you. You see, Jesus said, I am the way. He was not living out of his mortality. When he came to the man with the withered arm, what did he see? He didn't see a man with a withered arm. Why? Because he wasn't living out of his mortality. There's no withered arms in the world that he lived in. There was no withered arms. You understand? When he came to the man lying in the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, what did he see? He never saw a paralytic. How could he see a paralytic when he said, pick up your bed and go home? He was living in another world. He said, I have overcome this world. I'm living in another world. This is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll take care of everything else. Hallelujah. I have taken Him at His word. I believe that to be true. Now, many of you people have got problems tonight. Many of you have got physical problems. You may have psychological problems, and any other kind of problems, whatever there might happen to be. But you see, I want to tell you today that God has purpose for you to live in another world so that you can live as God in this world. The trouble is today, we're trying to live as Christians. And the word doesn't even mean anything today. You got film stars that get up there, I'm born again, I'm this, but they're still on drugs. You know, it's a crazy world. But Christians, I don't use the word anymore. I tell them I'm a believer.
Sorry.
But you see, Christians today can be anything. You don't have to be godly, you don't have to be holy, you don't have to, you know, live for Christ. You can just do whatever you want. I'm a Christian. Give my heart to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. He lived in another world. He looked out with eyes that could see the invisible. And beloved, this is part of our problem. That we are not able to see the invisible world, which is the kingdom of God. Of course, Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is not out there. It's not out there. The word kingdom has to do not with the area over which a king rules, but with the authority of the king himself. So when Jesus said the kingdom is in you, what was he saying? I put the king in you. I put the king in you. And that king can take control of your body. You got a problem in your body? The king can take care of that. Jesus Christ is Lord. We sing that, don't we? He is Lord, He is Lord. Yeah, we sing it, but we don't really believe it. We don't allow Him to become what He is. He is Lord. Now, if He is Lord, then He will stand up in me. Because He is the one that stepped out of the tomb 2,000 years ago and said, I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And in my hand I have the keys of hell, the grave, and death. That's the one that stepped out of the tomb. He lives in me. Resurrection is not an event that you have to wait for. Another 1,000 years down the track for some great resurrection. Jesus said to Martha, Lazarus will rise again. She said, well, I've been to Sunday school, I know. There'll be a great resurrection. God will turn over the tombstones and the grave, and dig up the bones, and He'll put a new body on them and take you to heaven so you can fly up. I don't think so. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. So when that Christ of God that dwells in you tonight, my brother, when He stands up in you, what's He going to do? He's going to breathe His life in every cell in my body. And this is the life the world is waiting to see. The world looks at the Christians and says, well, you have divorce in your marriages. We have divorce in ours. So what's the difference? You get cancer, we get cancer. You have problems with your kids, we have problems with our kids. Why would the world want to come and join us? There has to be a line of demarcation. There has to be some difference that God is putting in His people. The ways of God must become expressed. We've got to begin to live it, my friends, tonight. And I'm not standing here preaching at you like as if I'm doing it perfectly and you're not. I'm telling you, I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. But I've gone far enough on that journey to know that the kingdom of God is in me. And it's not out there, so I'm not looking out there for the kingdom of God. I'm looking in here because the kingdom of God is Christ, who is ruling and reigning in righteousness today. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, because my thoughts are not your thoughts. You understand that? Well, what are your thoughts? Well, God, you know, I've got a bad headache tonight, you know. Well, you understand, my thoughts, he said, are not your thoughts. Lord, I can't do that, I'm tired. You know, I've had a very strenuous week. And Lord, I'm afraid I'm just going to have to rest this weekend. That's your thoughts. But Father says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I want to tell you, many times, because as I travel, I mean, I've been on the road since April now, and preaching pretty well every day, and sometimes two and three times a day. I've traveled in countries that are as hot as the hot place, you know, and I've had to eat food that wasn't quite on my diet, but hey, but I made it. I didn't have a problem. Why? Because I did not try and transpose my thoughts on his thoughts. I said, Lord, I can do it. I can do it. Whatever it is, I can do it. Why? Because you're dwelling in me. It's your life I'm living. If you can do it, I can do it. My thoughts, your thoughts, are not my thoughts, he said. And neither are your ways my ways. Well, how do we get around? Well, when we've got a problem, we take a day off. Or we say, well, look, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm going to have to slow down today because I'm not feeling too good. And I just have to take it easy. Well, I want to tell you, my ways, he said, are not your ways. Your ways are not my ways. What are the ways of God? The ways of God say, Christ, you are my light. Christ is my light. Did you hear that? Christ is your light. Does that light need to take a day off every once in a while to catch your breath? I don't think so. That Christ that's in me is able to do whatever he wants to do. And I don't have any problem doing it because he's living his life through me. You see, this is the ways of God. We've got to learn. We've got to change our thinking. Our stinking thinking. We've got to change our thinking. Because we, you know, oh God, I've got a pain here. Oh Lord, I'll have to go to the doctor. I have to get this thing fixed, you know. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I just have learned to speak to my body now. You can speak to your body. Did you know that God said to Abraham? He said, Abraham, I'm going to give you the promised land. Now that was really something, wasn't it? Who'd want that land over there in Palestine today? There's more blood being spilled on that piece of ground over there than any place on the earth. I wouldn't want that. But listen, what was God talking to him about? Of course he was talking about a piece of real estate at that time. But what does that promised land represent? Doesn't represent heaven. That's what they tried to teach me when I was young. The promised land is your body. The promised land is your body. And God said, Abram, I'm going to give it to you, and then made a covenant. He made a covenant with Abram. He said, I'm going to give you the land of promise. And God's promise to you is that your body will live forever if you want it to. There's nothing wrong with your body. There is not a reason why it ought to die unless you allow something external to come and affect it and destroy it. The people that study the trees and the fauna around us tell me that the trees out there, if there was no external influence from outside the tree, those trees would never die. They would never die. It's only some external influence that can kill them. You and I, we have the living God dwelling within us. We have the Christ of God. He is my life. He's dwelling in you. Your body is the temple of the living God, and yet the body is wasting away, and it's just being destroyed by disease and sickness, and inside there is the Christ of God. Does that make sense to you? Your thinking is not my thinking, says the Lord. We've got to begin to understand who we are. We've got to begin to understand that when you were created, you were given eternal life. If you were not given eternal life when you were created, you will never have eternal life. There is nowhere along the road that you can get eternal life. Nowhere. Why not? Well, how can you turn mortal life into eternal life? Huh? How can you do that? You can't. Mortal life will never be eternal life. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Whoa. So you see, while we are trying to live our mortal life, but trying to please God at the same time, we end up in frustration. And I want to tell you, it's time, beloved, for us to begin to take note now and to check and see, are we walking in the ways of God? Are we walking as God walking on the earth? Did you know that God is walking on the earth today in shoe leather? In the lives of his people. In all men, if they only could understand it, but they don't know. But you and I are supposed to know. We're supposed to know God dwells in us. But we're still living as mortal human beings. That doesn't make sense, does it? And so our Christianity has somehow been downgraded to give us some sense of security. Like you need a pass to get into heaven, so that you don't go to that other place out there. And so this is how Christianity has been degraded. That somebody, one of the pastors said to me years ago, he said, if you take hell out of the picture, out of the equation, he said, how are we going to get people saved? I said, God help us. I mean, if you think that people are going to want to go to heaven just simply because there's a hell out there, you're wrong. Because when they got there, they'd want to get out anyway. Because if they couldn't live with God down here, they're not going to live with him up there, wherever that is. My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. These are the ways of God. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, I don't think he had to take a day off because he got a little weary. I don't think he had to take a day off because he had a migraine headache. I don't think he had to take a day off for any reason. He was there to do the will of God. And I was out in India a couple of years ago, a crusade outside a Hindu village. This is out in the field. No church building or anything. We're just out in the field. Had a little platform there. Had a few lights, a couple of singers there. and they asked me to preach. And here's all the Hindu people sitting out there on the grass in the dark. And so I ministered the word that night, and then I handed it back to the pastor. He made an appeal. I said, I don't do that, so you can do whatever you want to do. So he made an appeal, and there was a few people came out, and they did whatever they had to do with that, and they closed the meeting. And I stepped off the platform and walked out into the on the grass out in the dark, because I couldn't see all the people while the lights were shining on me. I got out there, and the next thing, a crowd of these Hindu people got up and ran over and knelt down in front of me. And the closest one took my hand and put it on their head. And I began to pray for those people. One of the pastors came over to me and said, Brother, do you realize these people don't know a word that you're saying? They don't understand English. I said, hey, what, do you think I'm crazy? I know they don't understand my language, but I'm not talking to their head. I'm praying over them. And I'm turning on the lights. I'm not asking God to do it. Why? He's in here. These are His hands. These are His feet. This is His mouth. So I'm turning on the light. And I'm opening their eyes and taking the scales off their eyes so that they could see the Lord. And these pastors are asking me, these people don't understand. I said, they understand. The one I'm talking to, the Christ in me, is talking to the Christ in them. And that's how it works. And I want to tell you, I have seen Africa is opening up to this word like I've never seen any other country. So many invitations have come to different places now. I've already gone to three countries, but there are invitations now to other countries. They want us to go down to the Congo and preach down there because some of the pastors came up to the seminar. Down in Burundi, they said, Brother, you've got to come down here. Why? Because they're hungry for God, and there's so few people. They have crusades in Africa. 500,000 people, and maybe more. But the young pastor that interprets for me said, Brother, I have been to those crusades. And he said, so little happens when it's all over and all the hype is gone. He said, there's so little left. But he said, when you came last year, he said, you had that seminar, he said, I saw the change in those pastors like I've never seen before. So you see, when we learn the ways of God, and it's not Des Walter, come on. It's not Des Walter. This is Christ in me. And I want to tell you, I don't have anything you don't have. And the Christ in me is the same Christ in you. And what He can do in me, He can do in you. It's no different. So here we are today. We're trying to be a Christian instead of allowing the Christ in us to live His life and express what He is through us. When God created, or when God formed your body in your mother's womb, it says that He brought the parts of your body together when there was nothing there. And He molded your body, because He made you exactly like He wanted you to be. I don't care what you think about yourself today, but I tell you, God made you exactly like He wanted you to be. And I want to tell you, you can be exactly what Father wants you to be if you allow that Christ to rise up in you. And then He will open the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of the Spirit. Because those eyes have the power to see into the invisible world. And I want to tell you, your body is to become an expression of that Christ so that the invisible God can become visible in this world in which we live. So it says, as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and does not return, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me until it has accomplished what I have sent it to do. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 42. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, and I will keep you, and I will give you for a covenant to the people. Did you realize that your life will become a covenant to those people in the world? A covenant, which means that God has made an agreement with mankind, and they are seeing that covenant manifest in you, and the world's going to say, we want that too, because God made the covenant with all mankind. I'll give you for a covenant to the people and for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, this is my name, my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come and passed, and new things do I declare, and before they spring forth I'll tell you. So sing unto the Lord a new song. Why do we have to keep singing the old songs? Sing unto the Lord a new song. I went through the charismatic renewal in Australia, the latter end of the 1960s, and I want to tell you one of the features of that movement was the new songs. Every time we met together, there were new songs. Oh, people were writing them. Yeah, many of them were just scripture put to music, and I did quite a bit of that myself. But there were new songs that were being written. And they would come and sing it, and the whole congregation would pick it up, and there's a new song. But it was to do with what God was saying, not what God has said. That's the new song. The new song must be up to date, singing what God is saying to us today. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways. So he said, I am the Lord. That is my name, my glory I will not give to another. Verse 1 of chapter 43. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, because I've redeemed you. I've redeemed you, I've called thee by thy name, and you're mine. What name was that? That's Christ. Because that's who you are. Christ is your name. That's your card. That's who you are. That's your identity, if you like. Christ. What does it mean? It means anointing. It means anointing. And Christ is the anointed one. Listen, I've ministered in the Pentecostal situation in Australia, and in the Pentecostal groups, of course, you've got the old concept of the Spirit of God doing what he did back on the day of Pentecost. And they're still doing exactly what he did on the day of Pentecost. But see, that was an evidence for that day. That was an evidence for that day. I want to tell you, there is an evidence that God says is for today. Would you like to know about it? Turn back here to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, we'll go back a little bit to chapter 7. And verse 14. And this is the Lord speaking to Israel. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What is the sign? Behold, a virgin will conceive. A virgin will conceive. This is the sign God gave to Israel. Ahaz didn't want it. The king didn't want it. He didn't want a sign from God. But the Lord said, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. A virgin shall conceive. That is God's sign for this generation in the year 2005. Are you hearing this? A virgin shall conceive. Who's the virgin? That's you. You're all virgins. Why are you virgins? your virgins because you've never brought forth what God wanted you to bring forth. See, he said to Adam in the beginning, right when he created him, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. We have not done it. I said to God, we've had 5 children, my wife and I. We've got 17 grandchildren. Lord, I've done my little bit. And God said to me, that's got nothing to do with it. A virgin shall conceive. This is spiritual reproduction. Spiritual reproduction. This is the ministry of the 21st century. The ministry of reproduction. For Christ is to be birthed in you. You thought Mary was the only one that had to do that? I want to tell you. You've got to birth that Christ. That's your true identity. You already birthed one person. That's the person you thought you were. You didn't have any trouble birthing that one. I didn't have any trouble. I birthed that one in my young years. But I want to tell you, God said, I want you to birth now your true identity. That's Christ. This is spiritual reproduction. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 9, he said, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Why is the child born but the son is given? Because no son of God has ever been born. That's why. No son of God has ever been born. Sons of God come out of God. You cannot be a son of God unless you were created by God and came out of him. You understand? That's why the whole idea of telling people that they can become a Christian, they can become a child of God, a son of God, by giving their heart to Jesus and doing this and doing that, and now you're a child of God, you're born again, you've got to have when you die. Rubbish! If you are not a son of God in creation, you will never be a son of God. Are you hearing this? You'll never be a son. How can you be a son of God? None of you men here could be my son. I could adopt you if I wanted to, but you could not be my son. Why? You've never been born in my family. And yet, here's the religious world telling people today, you can become a son of God. Why? We just do this, do this, do this, do... Come on. You became a son of God in creation. So did everybody else. You understand? Unto us a child is born. You can birth the child, but you can't birth the son. And you're the child. You're the child. You're the body that was birthed. And when Jesus Christ was birthed on this earth 2,000 years ago, the angels sang, and the shepherds listened. They heard the angels singing, glory to God in the highest, because Christ the Savior is born today. And that's what God said when you were born. He called you forth out of your mother's womb. Said, come on, you're my son. This is another Savior coming here, because the Christ is there. This is you. See, we've got to change our thinking, beloved. We've got to change our thinking. And so it is that he says, the child is born, but the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's the kingdom of God. The government will be upon his shoulder. And he will rule and reign in righteousness in you. Rule and reign in righteousness. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David. Chapter 43, that's quick. Just get this in. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. Not I will redeem you. Not if you do this and do that, I will redeem you. I have redeemed you. I want to tell you, you've been redeemed, whatever you might think in your mind. You might have had some problems. I know, before I began to understand the truth, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus, must have been 50 times. Well, I kept on thinking, Lord, maybe I didn't mean it the last time. Maybe I wasn't sincere. Maybe you didn't hear me. So I got down there and I would go through it all again. Confess my sin and everything else. I have redeemed you. You have been redeemed. You don't have to do anything to be redeemed. You have been redeemed. And I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For everyone that's called by my name, verse 7, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Beloved, God made you so you could be what he wanted you to be. You're a son of the living God. You're all the children of God. Psalm 82 verse 6 says you're all God's. Why? Because you came out of God. You came out of God. If God is God and you came out of him, we must be God's. We must be God's. God dwells in you today. If he didn't dwell in you, then there would be no possibility of us living the life that we need to live. Beloved, God wants to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes tonight, to see the other world, the world that the world can't see, but the world that Jesus Christ could see. And that was the world that he lived in, he functioned in. And you and I can live in that world to see what he saw and to be able to do what he did. You know, Jesus said, the things I do, he said, you can do also. Yeah, we all nod our head. Yeah. Have you done it yet? Why haven't you done it? See? My thoughts, Father says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. I tell you, you can do it. Your thoughts say, maybe. But God is still. He's still our Father. He loves you. He wants to bless you tonight. He wants you to wake up to another world. He wants you to see that you can live in the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2, we have been raised up and made to sit together now, today, right now, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we are. We're already walking the streets of gold. Hallelujah. So may God bless you tonight, encourage you, and help you to be what he said you are. Amen.
Yeah.